veritable obstacle course up here. Well, as you can see, we had a really wonderful week in so many ways. It was very, very rich. Boys and girls, all week long, we told you a story starting on Monday and through Bible verses and through the skits and through the songs. You heard what life was all about. And right now, I'm going to take about 10 minutes to tell your parents the same story, but I'm going to use parents' language. So I'm asking you, remember when we froze up on the stage here? I'm asking you to do the best job you can freezing, at least your mouth, during the next 10 minutes. And you may even hear some similarities between what I say to the adults as what you heard this last week. We talked about a story and how life is a big story. And many of us wonder, what's life all about? And what is the meaning of history? Where is the universe going? And am I even a part of where the universe is going? And as Christians, we believe that the Bible tells the meaning of history. And that it's basically one big story, a wonderful story, but it's more than just a story. It's a story where the author invites us into it. And in that story, our life finds meaning. So here's the story, very quickly, and there's four very simple chapters. The first chapter is called Creation. And at the very beginning of the Bible, we read this verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And you even heard about that just now, about the stars and the waterfall and everything that God has made. He has made a truly magnificent creation. And he created us, people, in his own image. We're a little different than the animals in that we have the capacity to know the Creator and to be in a covenant relationship with him. But there's something else that you need to know that we often leave out of the big story, but the story doesn't make sense if we leave this out. Way back in the beginning, God, after making human beings, chose one tiny little nation of the world in ancient Palestine by the name of Israel to be his special nation. And that nation was given a job description. And the job description was to show the rest of the world the way and to show them how they could also have a relationship with the Creator. Well, halfway through the Old Testament, we could see that Israel was having a very difficult time doing that. In fact, not only could they not show other people the way, they lost the way themselves. And things got very, very ugly. Not only did they forget about God, but they forgot to treat one another with love and respect. During that time, we read in the story that God sent people to help Israel. He sent judges and priests and kings and prophets. And every once in a while, that little nation would take one step forward and they would do well, but most of the time, it was three steps back. By the end of the Old Testament, we're beginning to ask the question, how could this world that was created so beautiful go so south? And that brings up the second chapter heading. If the first one is creation, the second chapter is called sin. Now, don't get scared, because sometimes when we talk about sin, it's like we're telling one another that we are all as bad as we can possibly be. But that's not what sin means. I'm convinced that I could be a whole lot worse than I presently am. And sin also doesn't mean that we break all the rules all of the time. I know for a fact that many of you are pretty good rule keepers and bean counters, and you do well a lot of the time. No, sin is much more deep and insidious. When the Bible talks about sin, it talks about how we, God's creation, particularly people, chose to exchange God, the Creator, for created things. Can you imagine how silly that would be? In fact, in the book of Romans, it says that we chose to worship and serve creation rather than the Creator. That would be like a 20-year-old woman falling in love with a young man who happened to be a jeweler. But after a year, she fell out of love with the jeweler and fell in love with his jewelry, his watches and rings and diamonds. You say, that would be completely ridiculous. Yes, sin is ridiculous, and there's a certain insanity that goes with it. Well, this is what the human race did. We said, God, we don't want you, but we want all of your gifts. We want work, and we want things, and we want relationships, and we want fun, but you, no thanks. Oh my, by the time we get to the middle of the Bible, we see all of the havoc that that decision made, following in the footsteps of Adam and Eve when they chose the fruit over the one who gave them the fruit. Well, even people who aren't religious would say, you know, I don't believe the Bible, but when I look at the human race, I see that there's something really beautiful and wonderful about humanity, but also something very, very broken. And what even unreligious people see is sin. The Old Testament talks about lostness and about us being broken. And it even talks about the human race being under the curse of death. Oh my, that is a very dark chapter. So if chapter 1 is creation and it's all good, and chapter 2 is sin and the death that results from sin, we are really ready for chapter 3. And what's so wonderful is that even through the whole Old Testament, when everything is going from bad to worse, God kept talking about a new day that was going to come, and he was going to send somebody very special, a king, and he would be the leader of a whole new race of people who would be changed from the inside out. Well, halfway through in the book of Matthew, this person is born. And of course, boys and girls, you know who this person is. He was born in Bethlehem. What is his name? Yes, Jesus. Jesus, born in Bethlehem of a virgin. He grew up in Nazareth. He died just outside of Jerusalem. But nobody has ever been like Jesus. He was both God and man. He lived like no one had ever lived, loving his Father perfectly and loving his fellow neighbor perfectly. But the most amazing thing about Jesus is that the death penalty that you and I deserved for our sin was willingly embraced by Jesus when he died on the cross. Do you know that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he allowed all of the sin of the entire world to come upon him, and he paid for its penalty in full? Rising from the dead 3 days later, our risen King Jesus now offers us these amazing gifts. He offers us eternal life, so we don't need to fear death anymore. He offers us a clean white slate. We call that forgiveness. And he offers us a new heart. He actually puts his Holy Spirit into us so that we begin to change from the inside out. Now, listen very carefully. This is a very important part. Creation, sin, redemption in Jesus, and number 4, recreation of the broken world. Now, when a person hears this message and they put their faith in Christ and they seal it in water baptism, they are not only unified with the person of Jesus and his Father, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, but that person becomes one with a bunch of people that the Bible calls the church. And now the final chapter is that the same job description that God gave Israel, he has given to the church. And together, boys, girls, men and women from every tribe, tongue and nation partner with the risen Jesus through the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of Jesus to the whole world. That's the story. And someday this wonderful Jesus we serve is going to come again and bring an end to the recreation process, and we will enter that period called the new heavens and the new earth. That's where the universe is going. Now, If you even choose to believe a little bit of that story, which is the Bible story, the next question that you should be asking is this. Is there a way I can get in on that story? Yes, but you will not just drift into this story. You must willingly step into it because the Lord is inviting you. Come, come to me, trust me. So very simply, this is how anybody here who would like to can get in on that story. A, B, C. A, acknowledge that like a drowning man or woman, you need a life preserver and you will not be able to save yourself. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him and He will save you. And C, confess through baptism, dying to yourself and rising up in a new life, that Jesus is your Lord and that you are now not only being connected to Him by faith, but you are developing a brand new family called the church. If anybody here is here in church for the first time, or maybe you used to go to church, but you've sort of drifted away, and through your children, you find yourself here today. We are so glad that you have come. And if there's any way at all that we can help you and your children develop a closer relationship with Jesus, that's why we're here. Let us know. We'll do everything we can to walk with you. Amen. That's the mom and dad sermon. One of the things that we do here in this church to celebrate Jesus is we have what's called the Lord's Supper every Sunday. On the table, there are little pieces of bread which are sacraments or symbols of the body of Jesus that was broken on the cross for us. And then there's some juice. And the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us on the cross for our forgiveness. And what we do as a family is we come to the table as the Lord invites us to come, and we receive a piece of bread, we dip it in the cup, and we eat it. And as we internalize the bread and the wine into our stomach, we are celebrating that Christ lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we leave being symbolically nurtured and strengthened and fed to participate in the kingdom program that the Lord has for us all week long. Now listen carefully. If you have put your faith in Jesus at some time in your life, or even this morning, what you've heard makes sense, and you would like to celebrate Jesus by taking communion, we invite you to do that. You can give your heart to Christ right now. But if you are still learning and you're not totally sure about this whole religious thing, we invite you to just stay in your seat. You don't worry about the lights, right? There's always going to be, this is VBS week. Stuff can go wrong. We invite you just to stay in your seat and don't feel at all pressured to come forward. But there is one other thing I want to tell you, and this is going to be very, very special. Whether or not you as adults choose to receive communion or not, you can come forward with your children to one of the communion lines. You will see how it works. And beside each little communion station, one at the end of all three lines, there will be one of our three pastors. And after the communion station, just walk to the pastor, and if you'd like to do this, the pastor will say a very simple blessing upon your child, your children. It'll sound something like this: in the name of Jesus, may you be blessed. And then you can just go back to your seat. So today, we are both going to receive communion, and we're going to offer a very special blessing for children. So let's prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it And he said, "This is my body given to you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And after taking the bread, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you will in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks. Father, for sending us Jesus, the greatest gift of all, we say thank you and receive him now by faith. Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, we say thank you. And Holy Spirit, we ask now that you would minister the life of Jesus to each and every life that is here, to those who receive communion and for those who choose not to. We also pray a very special blessing upon all the boys and girls that are here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, those that are serving, if you would come and prepare to serve us. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, there will be a prayer station in all four corners of the church. You will see them standing there. Feel free, after or before communion, to go and receive prayer. Amen.